Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Booze Hustle. This is your host, Kristen, wine and spirits industry professional, part-time podcast producer, just general wearer of many hats. And on this week's episode, I talked to Brenny Savoy. He's a well-known chef and bartender in the state of Connecticut. And among his many pursuits, he's pretty well-known for these fun pop-ups that he does that feature the type of comfort food that everyone loves. He makes beautiful Instagram videos where he has these hand-rolled pastas, so if you're into that type of thing, I would definitely check that out. And if you've listened to the pod for a while, you know that every now and then I get to invite on personal industry friends to chat, and those are always some of my favorite episodes. On this episode, we learn that Brenny has a voice for radio, for sure, and we delve into conversations around mental health in the restaurant industry. We also spend probably a little too much time talking about Taco Bell, so I apologize about that. And we were actually lucky enough to record this episode in person with whiskey. So, you know, you'll have to occasional noises that you're going to have to deal with, as I drink more whiskey. But, you know, it's all in the magic of recording, right? Being in the moment. So really fun episode, guys. I hope you enjoy it. Cheers. What are we drinking, first of all?
We are drinking High West Double Rye.
Oh my God, of course. Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to like surprise me with like some fancy shit.
Well, that'll be on the next glass for sure.
How many things of whiskey do you think I'm going to drink?
Two.
Okay, so listeners, this is a very interesting setup here. I'm recording in person, which I don't normally do. Or I mean, I have. Not for a long time, actually. I have in the past. I did with my friend and some other friends, like back in the day in season one, I recorded in person and then COVID happened. And then I got real comfortable and used to just sitting on my ass at home over Zoom recording people. So my friend Brenny here was kind enough to host me at his house to record today. And it was a literal disaster trying to remember how to set up audio equipment.
You got through it though. And that's what matters.
I mean, it's not easy. I did not go to school for this.
Oh, you don't have a sound engineering degree?
No, I'm sure the listeners can tell too. Listen, I'm doing the best that I can. So we are in person. I'm on a couch drinking whiskey, which is quite lovely, actually. I'm rethinking how I record all of these episodes now.
I feel like this is like the new standard.
This should be.
This is where the bar is now.
Brenny, has anyone ever told you have like a voice for radio or podcasts? It's very soothing.
I have heard that before, but I think there's a bit of my imposter syndrome that kicks in, and I don't like the way my voice sounds.
The way
it sounds in my head is just completely different. I wish you could hear the way it sounds in my head.
Well, you got to get over that. I've had to get over that. Listening to myself on this podcast has been a real treat. Yeah. Like, and I have to edit like hours of this.
So you're just constantly listening to yourself.
Yeah. And I used to hate the way I sounded too, but you just get over that. But I will say, you have a career in maybe ASMR or...
Maybe I should get into that.
Maybe you should get into like things where you're like soothing people to sleep or something.
Have some like raindrops in the background. And
yeah. Just like count to 10.
Or like rubbing, like they do like the makeup brushes on the microphones and stuff.
Yeah, like shaving cream. Have you ever watched weird ASMR?
I mean, like when if I'm like browsing through like TikTok at night, occasionally one of those things will pop up where people are just doing like a live stream of them doing ASMR and stuff. And
yeah, it's all of my TikTok live now. So
really?
This is what happens. The algorithm figures out that you like ASMR. And then it's literally every single fucking TikTok live I have now is just a different flavor from a different country with a different person calling people bestie, doing a different version of shaving cream on a microphone. It's very weird. But I will say there are two that I actually really enjoy.
Okay.
One, she takes like a brush and she brushes the microphone with it so it sounds like waves crashing.
Interesting.
And then she makes like little bird noises, which I cannot do. And I'm like, that's pretty relaxing.
She's doing like the bird noises with her mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Cool. I mean, I guess I could just listen to birds and waves.
Yeah, maybe just recorded. Like actual birds would probably be cool too.
Maybe.
I'm sure she makes it fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. Listen, if you have a hard time falling asleep like I do, sometimes you need a little help, right? In the form of ASMR or whiskey, as it were.
Which a little is bit
what,
of both.
Which is what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
So listeners, this is Brenny. Brenny is a dear friend of mine. I'm gonna intro you in the beginning of the show. Don't worry. We'll get into all that. But he is, he's a man of many talents. We know each other from bartending a while back in my 9-to-5 job, I guess. Yeah. I was recording these little, like, I don't even know what I was recording. I was doing something for one of the brands I represent. So I went into Brenny's bar where he was working, and he was very new there. Am I right?
It was my second day.
Second
when
day.
When you walked in and put a camera in my face.
I put him on the spot and was like, hey, I'm making this video and I need you to make an old fashioned, like, stat. And then I need you to, like, such an asshole. And I need to record you doing it for this video that I'm making. And you were a champ.
You were much sweeter about it than the way you're putting it right now. But I was definitely very glad that I had a nice shirt on that day.
Why would you not have your shirt on?
I mean, just having a nice shirt on.
Oh, a nice shirt, did you say?
If I could bartend shirtless, if the health department would turn a blind eye to that, I absolutely would.
There are places I am aware of that do bikini bartending, but I don't know if that's your, that's your
I don't
thing.
Think I look great in a thong, but I definitely like the idea of not being so sweaty during a very busy Friday night.
Yeah, I saw this video where, you know, the bar mats have holes in them. There were these girls behind a bar in their bikinis, you know, on a busy night, and one of them had like heels on and it got stuck in the hole.
Oh yeah.
Why would you wear heels behind a bar?
Shout out Daytona, Florida, where that was probably happening.
Yeah 100%.
That sounds like a very Daytona or yeah. Tampa, Florida type of
yeah,
situation.
Or like Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Like, oddly enough, that seems like it would be a Wisconsin thing, too. Actually, the bar that I know of that I was talking about was in Chicago, so that tracks, actually.
That does track.
Okay, so what were we talking about? Okay, so I went in, I met Brenny through this video that I was making, and we became pals. And the more I learn about him, the more interesting he becomes to me. He's like an enigma. He's like the, what is the Dos Equis, most interesting man in the world?
Oh, yeah.
So he's also a chef. And you're also an entrepreneur, and I can attest to Brenny being a great chef. I've eaten his food. And he's in the process of starting many businesses. Some are still ideation phase.
There's always stuff kicking around, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're like me. I'm like, I want to do all these things. And you're like, one thing at a time.
Yeah, it's a weird thing fumbling around so many different ideas that you have in your head all the time and just becoming bored with things really quickly and just changing directions and mm-hmm. just keeping yourself moving. And it's also the dichotomy of being both front and back of house in the restaurant industry mm-hmm. It's an interesting thing.
You have a unique perspective.
Right. So I feel like both of the sides of things kind of feed into each other, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like my bartending will influence my cooking will influence my bartending.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also kind of brutal because every day I'm constantly trying to get better at both things, whereas
simultaneously.
It would be so nice to be one of those people that could just focus on doing one thing and going into one direction. My brain just isn't wired.
Who
that
are those
way.
People, though?
I
honestly,
don't know. I don't know.
If you're one of those people,
that's
no
wild
offense.
To me.
I didn't mean that.
Like, good
but,
for you.
Yeah,
but
good for you. I was talking to a colleague of mine today, and she was like, her husband actually started a beer company, which is super cool. It's called Peach State Light. Shout out to Jake Sapp in Georgia. So if you're in Georgia, drink Peach State Light. Anyways, she was talking about how her husband and I are both have this unique quality of being able to like have multiple jobs at a time, being like a full-time job and then also like several side hustles.
Yep.
And I don't know how to be any other way.
yeah, it's weird when you just constantly have, it sounds weird to say it, but when you're just having ideas all the time, doing different things, and mm-hmm. you want to indulge in those ideas, because if you don't do anything about it, they just stay kicking around inside your head.
Yeah, that's awful.
You got to get it out somehow.
So let's talk about where you got your start. So tell the listeners where you're from, where you grew up, and how you came to the restaurant industry.
Sure. So I'm from Waterbury, Connecticut.
Whoop, whoop, dirty waters.
The big dirty. Lived there for about 32 years of my life, 33 years of my life now, something like that. I actually started promoting teen nights at bars when I was 16.
Teen nights.
And this is before the heyday of social media, where when you are promoting something, you are actually going out and talking to people and meeting people. And
revolutionary.
We used to do this thing called the lick and stick method, where we would go around the malls with flyers and literally lick the flyer and stick it on windows.
Interesting.
All over the place.
So were you walking around like Forever 21 and Contempo Casuals and sticking them to the glass?
Just wherever there was glass.
Are you a teen?
There was traffic.
Do you like to dance?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you love Red Bull and Pitbull?
You don't strike me as someone extroverted enough to be a promoter.
I am fake extroverted.
Me too.
It's very much by force. Like,
we talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
It's the introverted person that somehow has found their way into an extroverted career. But I always describe this as I take my extroverted face off at the end of the day and hang it on the wall.
Absolutely. Like a coat. You literally take it off like a mask at the end of the night.
Yeah. Stop making noise. We're recording.
I'm so sorry. I keep putting things down, picking them up.
Did you forget there's a microphone in front
this
of you?
I've done a podcast once, and it was like probably 7 or 8 years ago. So we're just going to consider this a brand new thing.
Yeah. Well, we're not in a studio, so it's confusing.
I understand.
And we're also drinking, so that's also confusing.
I'm going to try a lot harder starting right now.
I'm actually preferring this this forum. I'd rather do these in person ones. Okay. So anyway, so back to the promoting.
So days. Yeah. So I started promoting teen nights, and then there was this bar in Waterbury that I can talk about now because they're no longer open, that I used to drink illegally at. It was called Russo's.
Okay.
In Town Plot, where I grew up. I'm sorry, it wasn't in Town Plot. That was in Hamilton. Anyway, I was drinking there illegally, and the owner asked me if I knew how to bartend.
How old were you?
I was 16, 17.
Mm-hmm.
Looked older. Asked me if I knew how to bartend, and it was kind of something that was like in my head, that was something that I would enjoy doing. And naturally I lied and said, yes, I can bartend. It was a beer and wine bar. It was nothing really too crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you're pouring things.
It was more of like a small cafe, but. Yeah.
Yes, I know how to pour things into a glass.
I can pour wine into a glass for sure. And yeah, lied my way into that job. And my very first night, the place got absolutely packed out. It was there was some theater show going on in town, and everyone left and came to the bar and had like an after party from mm-hmm. some production. And I remember the bar being like three deep, and I was shitting myself. I was so anxious. I was so nervous. I had no idea what I was doing. As much as it seems like, oh, you're just cracking open beers and pouring wines, it's still like, what am I doing here?
Do you still have nightmares about that place? Or that experience? I have like PTSD dreams about the busiest bars that I worked at sometimes.
Well, here's what saved it. And here's what kind of like stamped my absolute love for what I do, is that at one point I cracked a joke and the crowd went fucking wild.
Oh,
and I got,
do you remember
this,
the joke?
I don't remember. I wish I did. I said something to someone, and like everyone just like roared laughing, and I was like, I want to feel this.
Yeah.
All the time, forever.
Ooh, attention. Yeah. I like it.
Which is a weird thing for me, because mm-hmm. I do heavily dislike being perceived.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. Like, as a bartender, you're 100% just being perceived by people all the time.
At any given second.
Yeah, just people staring at you.
There's always people watching you, you know, especially doing what I do, which mm-hmm. is, you know, making craft cocktails at high volume. You're going to have people staring at you and what you're doing.
Especially if you present as a woman.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine.
Add a couple zeros. Well, that's wild. So the introvert gets a little attention and is like, oh, I like this. And then how did you go from there into like what was like the next step for you? Was it restaurant, like back of house, or did you stay front of house for a while?
So I was, I stayed front of house for a while. Most of my industry jobs were, you know, pubs, dive bars and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Whether I was bartending or promoting, throwing parties, because I do have a background in a lot of promotional stuff up until, I don't know, probably 7 years.
Why don't you promote
ago.
This podcast, sir?
I'm going to. I will further promote this podcast.
I'm an asshole. I'm sorry.
No, you're doing great.
I am drinking, which the listeners don't usually get to listen to me do. So.
So this is a lot of new stuff going on right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Woo.
That's awesome. The new edition, the new era of the Booze Hustle.
Yeah, season four. Shit's going off the rails.
Season four, we drinking.
Sorry. Okay, continue.
I made noise again. So
it's okay. It's like a glass touching the coffee table. It adds like realism to the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Because we're just in a living room right now.
Yep.
So about 6 years ago, there was this restaurant in Middletown called Crust that I was a huge, huge fan of.
Mm-hmm. Great whiskey.
Pizzas and bourbons, like mm-hmm. 500 bottles of whiskey on the wall, something. I was absolutely in love with it. And that was, I had been a home cook for 3 or 4 years. I had kind of, cooking became an obsession of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I was co-owning an HVAC business and very unhappy in that industry.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why. Sounds like a blast.
Oh, it's wonderful. I miss it so much. Crust one day posted a position on Facebook for an entry-level line cook. And that very second, I applied for the job.
Awesome.
As a home cook with front-of-house experience mm-hmm. because I wanted to get into a kitchen. I didn't feel comfortable referring to myself as a cook
mm-hmm.
if I was just cooking at home.
Right.
So I sold out of my half of the business and started all over from the very bottom, making $11 an hour.
Nice.
Working like 12, 14 hour days. I was absolutely broke and the happiest I ever was.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of just has been going from there. So Crust being the sister restaurant of where I work at now.
A little different.
It's a little bit different.
It's a little different. So listeners don't know what we're talking about, but like I will say like, the same owners, but very, and like aesthetically very similar looking vibe, but like this is like a small plates menu, craft cocktails, like great wine, but like Brenny's on stage there, like making drinks, like, you know, the classic bartender on a pedestal environment,
I feel like.
Because he's like in a little fishbowl at like the center of not a very large bowl where everyone's just literally facing him.
The focus of the entire restaurant, bar, yeah. and yeah. dining room, it kind of just like
yeah,
bottlenecks right to me.
So we talk about this a lot, like your career and what you want to do. And I know it's very hard, especially like when you become a bartender, to like walk away from that. But I know that like you've got, you know, dreams of pursuing cooking and in a real way. Like, what advice do you have for people? I mean, maybe you're giving yourself advice here, I don't know, who want to get out from the behind a bar and, you know, the allure of the money, the faster money, maybe.
Yeah.
To pursue something that might be a harder jump.
Well, I mean, the transition from front of house to back of house is something that I honestly...
Most
people do not do
for a reason.
At all, for a reason. You're working way more hours, you're working way yeah. harder, and you're making a lot less money.
Right.
My love for cooking is something that I'll be happily broke doing, mm-hmm. just not right now. As far as transitioning from front to back of house, I think it would have to come from a place of absolute love for the craft of cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that, you're going to get burnt out anyway. Working in a kitchen in a restaurant is brutal.
Yeah.
And it's not for everyone. And I'm very humbled by the fact that I'm one of the few people that can handle both situations pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And I love them both equally. I think I could say with confidence, but yeah.
What did little Brenny want to be?
Little Brenny. So here's a little quick, funny story. This is something that just like came to mind to me like a year ago. I had this like weird, like realization of a very, very old memory. I used to have this like little tiny chalkboard and like a, you know, just like a pack of different colored chalk. And I would do this thing where I would draw like a beaker on the chalkboard. And then I would take two different colored chalks and mix them together. I would like draw inside of the beaker and see which ones would turn red. Because in my head, that was me wanting to be a mad scientist. And I was...
This all tracks.
Creating poison by... If it turned red, that was like bad. And that was what I wanted. Because I like the idea of being like a mad scientist or evil scientist was something that was kicking around in my head when I was very young, which is very odd.
Well, understanding color theory, there's not a lot of colors that are going to turn red. So you must have been disappointed quite a bit.
Yeah, constantly. Constantly.
Like, what the fuck?
And it was so weird that that just came up in my memory randomly one day and realized that my very first initial thing in my head was kind of what I'm doing now.
Yeah. You're literally mixing things and things that look like beakers.
And making potions and elixirs. And
oh my God, totally. That's so witchy of
but
you.
But they're just highballs and cordials and yeah.
Have you ever pursued the idea that you might actually be a male witch?
Yeah.
Do you have crystals?
I don't think I do anywhere.
I'm sure there's some crystals in here somewhere.
I have a piece of amethyst somewhere. That's you do. That's a birthstone kind of thing.
Yeah, sure. It's a birthstone / crystal.
Yeah.
Did you kill the plant I gave you, by the way?
No.
Is it alive?
Yeah. You can see it right now.
Have you added anything to it since I gave it to you?
Multiple times.
You did?
Yeah, I put ice cubes in it all the time.
Okay. I got Brenny a housewarming gift. And I got him like a succulent because, you know, like... least amount of effort
very
needed to keep
to
something alive. And his place needed some life in it, albeit semi-dormant.
I do have one plant, but it's fake. That one right there.
That does not count then.
How? Why not?
You seem like somebody who would have plants. I know we've talked about like other people that have had plants around you.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why you don't want to have plants.
I do want plants. I'm not good at keeping them alive, which
you
is
would
why
be,
the succulents were the... perfect gift you could have given me.
No, I think you would be good at it. I think you just haven't tried.
Maybe you're right.
Horticulture. It's your next avenue.
This is where we go. I'll be 35 in a week. I gotta start buying plants. I gotta hurry up.
Oh my God.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
So let's pivot for a second here. Yep. I'd like to talk about Blanco Alamo, which is your, you want to explain what that is?
Alamo Blanco.
Oh, sorry. I got it backwards.
Totally fine. Alamo Blanco is a bit of a side project that I'm doing right now in the form of pop-ups, kind of just exploring what I've been calling American Southern inspired food, mm-hmm. which would involve not only the Southern United States, but, you know, Southern countries that are in the Americas, mm-hmm. and kind of just figuring out some kind of, you know, new wave food, I guess. Mm-hmm. I hate trying to describe my own work for most part.
It's really hard to do.
It's American Southern inspired food.
Okay.
I love fried chicken with all my heart. And if I could just cook fried chicken for the rest of my life, mm-hmm. I'd probably be a very happy person. But
I make good fried chicken. You've never had mine.
You haven't made me fried chicken?
No, I have to, but I'll be like intimidated. I don't like cooking for people that are like professional cooks for a living.
No, I love food of all forms. If you threw an Ilio's pizza in the microwave, it would make me like the happiest person.
Don't say that. Don't compare my food to Ilio's.
Listen, the easiest person to cook for in the world is a chef.
Because just like happy somebody else is doing it.
We love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and instant ramen. It's the idea that we don't have to do anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially at the end of a long shift.
Yep.
The simplest thing makes us the happiest.
That's true. I want to say one thing you do with your pop-ups that I really like and, you know, I think is inspiring is that you guys do like that toy drive every year.
Yep.
And this is, how many years have you been doing that?
The toy drive, so I do a toy drive in December. I try to do it every year. There have, you know, been some gaps. There have been some years that I haven't done it. But the toy drive thing has been happening in one form or another for probably close to a decade. So mm-hmm. even when I was, there would be bars that I was working at in Waterbury, and I would link up with the other bars around town, and I would say, hey, let's all get a box out and going. And mm-hmm. there have been years where it was just like overwhelmingly large amounts of presents and stuff. And I realized that it was such an effortless thing for me to accomplish because I was already promoting stuff. And when you're working publicly and you have all these people coming through your door, all you're creating is this avenue for them to just do like one little thing each,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
just that one little gift. But when you're getting it from 600 people,
yep.
It's
the culmination.
Yeah. It instantly became a no brainer that it's something to just do every year.
It's a very altruistic thing to do. And it's very, I don't know. You would have never struck me as like a Santa Claus-esque human being, but it's very much a Santa Claus thing. Did you not get a lot of toys as a kid? Is this like you're healing your childhood trauma?
It may have something to do with that.
I mean,
I don't know.
Same, brother, same.
Yeah. This being able to do that is like, that's my Christmas.
Yeah.
Know? That's what I enjoy. I don't care about getting gifts myself and doing all that stuff. I want to provide for people that have less than me. I want to spend time with my family and kind of just leave it at that.
Why are like people in the restaurant industry so much better of humans than, I mean, I'm generalizing. That is a broad brush to be painting, and I retract partially.
I mean, you're not wrong.
But I find that like, so most of the people in the restaurant industry, and this is like a constant struggle, and we've seen in the last few years, a lot of restaurant groups that are taking steps to be, to provide more services and more care and, you know, better wages and all that. And we're, you know, we're on the road, but we're like way at the first couple baby steps there. But I find like the people that work in this industry to be generally the most kind. Maybe it's because we get, you know, we've gotten shit on enough
yeah.
by people that you realize how awful it is to be shit on. So they're just, you know, right out the gate, they're going to be a little bit more accommodating, and it's our nature to be hospitable. But also like for a group of people that have so little like health insurance and care, like they care the most. And I find that so fascinating, don't you?
I think, well, yeah, absolutely. And I have thought about this a lot before, as I'm sure so many people in the industry have, that people that are attracted to the restaurant industry and all the chaos and the calamity of it and the oftentimes thanklessness of it is that you are just trying really hard to get something from serving people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get the, it's a, you're getting transactional serotonin from it. Like you're just enjoying providing for someone. And I'm sure for many people that they're, you know, trying to replace something in their life, like kind of what you said about like Christmas, is that you want to kind of change that for yourself.
You know, it's interesting, and we don't have to talk about this if you don't want to, and I can just, you know, I can edit out whatever, it's my podcast. But I wonder if like part of it is, because I think about you and like how you outwardly are, or inwardly are, pretty introverted, but you pick these things where you're forced to be around other people.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's because if without those careers or without that career, you might not go out into the world very much.
Right. I do love going out when I,
well,
when
I mean, I'm, going out is
when
different.
I have the energy and being rested, but it's that it's an odd thing because I feel like so many bartenders are naturally introverted people that it's kind of just like you're putting yourself in an uncomfortable position and try to break yourself out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I just think that we often like push ourselves into things like subconsciously that we, I don't know, that are in the best interest of our well-being, you know? That's kind of like a self-care thing. I don't know, like, or like a mental health thing. Like you subconsciously, you know, find people that are going to be good for your well-being and somehow attract them, even not realizing you're attracting them. Or the opposite. Some people attract people that are horrible for them.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
But there's, those are like patterns that people make.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Something to think about.
Something to ponder on.
Something to ponder on. So I wonder if you have any mentors or people that have had a really big impact on your career that you feel like you maybe wouldn't have taken the path that you've taken without?
Honestly, I think it's just been me beating myself up for well over a decade now.
Hmm.
I mean, there's, you know, there's so many people in the industry that I look up to, but I don't think that any of my driving force really came from them or wanting to be like anyone else. I think it was born out of my own vision of self. Mm-hmm. And everything that I'm trying to accomplish on a daily basis is me just trying to get closer to the version of myself that I see.
How do we do that, though?
I don't think anyone ever really does. Truly.
Well, I mean, never like completely, but.
It's a very good question.
You didn't know you were going to be going to therapy today.
I didn't know we were going to get this deep. I thought we were going to be talking about Tommy's margaritas and
Listen,
stuff.
I'm going to tell you something. My best episodes are episodes with, I don't know, people I know.
Yeah.
You actually talk about shit. You think if I'm like, hey, Dale DeGroff, let's talk about your childhood.
Yeah.
Like, let's get deep.
How was your Christmas in 1996?
No, but like, I don't know. And I think listeners appreciate like, hearing people have real conversations.
Yeah, you got to get deep about stuff. You have to be able to break some things down, and you know, even talking about it, sometimes you'll come across these realizations that hadn't even occurred to you before. So it's good to dig a little deep. It's important.
And you know, there's a lot of people in their car right now listening to this. They're trying to figure out what they're doing with their lives. Maybe they're in a job that they don't love, but you know, they like, and it's a good paycheck. Maybe they have a job that they absolutely fucking hate, but it's a good paycheck. Maybe they don't have a job. I don't know. I don't know.
That's a whole funny thing in of itself. I have so many friends that have seemingly great jobs, and you know, they have their master's degrees, and you know, they have this high salary and all this stuff, but they're constantly under duress. They're so unhappy with their 9-to-5 job. They cannot wait to get out of work. And as much as I'm relieved at the end of the night when the job's done, I just could not imagine living a life where I just constantly dislike what I'm doing and where I am, because at the end of the day, your job is about 50% of your waking life.
You know what you're doing? You're renting your brain. I came to this realization recently, actually, because I have a very, very all-consuming, crazy, busy job. And I also do this podcast, and I also am trying to do several other things in addition to raising children. And I would like to believe in the prime of my working years, productive years, intelligence years, all those things. And I think about time is the number one resource that I have, mm-hmm. right? And so much of my time, I'm renting essentially my brain yeah. to these people.
Yeah.
And it feels transactional because you don't get anything back from it.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you do. Sometimes like you get relationships out of it or friendships or, but at the end of the day, you come home, you don't really have a lot to show for it.
Right.
And you put so much of yourself into that thing you're doing. I mean, maybe you don't. Maybe you're not like a high achiever. And that's also fine. Man, right. like kudos to you figuring out a way to like just give 50% and get that paycheck.
Just to just breeze by is
right.
that's
but,
wild.
But I don't know how to do that. Like right. I go like Mach 10, like 110%. So at the end of the day, like I'm completely spent because I've given them 110% of my brain. And then I feel like I don't have a lot to show for it.
Yeah.
Except the paycheck. And then the paycheck feels like handcuffs.
Right.
Because you're like, well, I can't go. But I can't, I don't know. And I'm not saying I don't like my job. I do. I like my job a lot. But like, I understand why people get trapped in what they feel like these careers where they're like, well, what am I doing?
Yeah. Being chained to a salary is.
Yeah.
I couldn't live like that personally. And I know I'm a very different person. There's a lot of people in the industry that are the same as me that I would much rather let a restaurant absolutely consume my time and my energy, knowing that I love what I do. And mm-hmm. I have nights where I'm like so beat up and my brain's just going a million miles an hour. My ears are ringing from the noise of the restaurant. And I'm like, do I want to keep doing this forever? And then I will spend time with myself thinking, what else would I want to do
mm-hmm.
every single day and be happy?
Yeah.
And I cannot come up with an answer. Because
it's like you're saying before, you get dopamine. You get something back immediately. Right. It's like you give somebody something, they give something back to you. And I'm not talking about money. We're not talking about currency. But it's the interaction. It's the experience and the acknowledgement of that experience. It's the human interaction
yeah.
that you're getting that I think in like my field, for example, I have a metric shit ton of human interaction, but a lot of it isn't what I would consider real human interaction. It's
right.
we're business interaction. We're, you know, and rarely, but often you have friends that you make where you can have real conversations,
absolutely.
But it's like a small percentage of your day.
Yep.
So yeah, 100, I hear you. And that's the thing that happens though, when you have kids and you're like, well, I'd love to try something else, but let me get these kids out of the house first.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they both have doctor's appointments, so my dreams are going to have to wait one more day.
My dreams are going to have to wait about 12 more years, but that's okay. They're great. They're great, you know? What else?
What else is what's there that, to talk about?
Well, I mean, so much, but like, what's next for you?
What's next for me? I'm not sure. I think some of my plans are going to be deviating a little bit this year, and
deviating plans.
There's a lot of things that are existing only in notebooks at the moment, but it's definitely going to be a great year. Very excited about it.
Okay.
And we'll see.
Are you dropping like a teaser trailer in the middle of my podcast?
Ambiguous right now, but
well, there you have it, folks.
There are definitely gonna be some fun things around the corner.
Okay. Could we get like a hint?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those things I don't really want to. I'd much rather it just happen than be something that I'm talking about.
Okay.
I know.
Well, now you have to do shit.
But
so the entire reason we're doing this podcast right now is accountability.
Okay.
So we've just made Brenny accountable for all of these things that he said he's going to do.
Gotta hold me to it. The good news is that there's just really no other option for me. I just have to keep going and improving in every way
mm-hmm.
between the front and the back of the house and see where it steers me.
What advice do you have for young bartenders?
Make sure you get 8 hours of sleep, drink a lot of water,
mm-hmm.
concentrate on your own well-being and putting yourself first outside of work, because during those hours that you're behind the bar, you are absolutely giving yourself to everyone around you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really important to just spend time with yourself and do nice things for yourself and to not just be a bartender, you know, to be a person outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you are going out to bars yourself or just staying home and reading or watching TV or cooking.
Self-care, man.
Mental and physical health is very important. Stretch a lot, drink a lot of water. mm-hmm. mix up the booze and the hydration.
Are you giving yourself advice right now?
I mean, during my days off, I usually don't drink at all.
You're so full of shit.
No, that's the absolute truth. Unless there's like, yesterday was the,
okay,
the big
right,
ritual.
I was going to say,
event.
I'm like, I know what you did yesterday.
Yeah, I drank like 100
Don't
beers
you lie
yesterday,
to my listeners.
And I had an absolute blast. I ate so much pizza. Shout out Ritual. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my days off where I have nothing to do, it's a lot of self-care, doing a lot of foot baths and stuff.
So ooh, foot baths.
Awesome. Oh yeah, a little Epsom salts.
And horror movies.
Lots
That's
of
Brenny's
horror
thing.
Movies. Yep. It really takes me out of reality a little bit sometimes. Kind of hit the reset button on my brain.
Hell yeah.
And it's it works.
So tell everyone where they can find you if they want to, like, he makes really great pasta making videos if you're into that kind of thing on his Instagram. What's your Instagram handle again?
My Instagram handle is Brenny, B-R-E-N-N-Y, period, Blanco. Brenny Blanco.
Yep.
You can find me 4 nights a week at Osa Restaurant in Main Street, Middletown.
Yeah, for all our Connecticut listeners. And I know there are some because I just know.
Yep, and there's going to be some more Alamo Blanco pop-ups happening soon. I think I might be in West Hartford very soon at Zephyr Street Pizza.
Nice. All right.
Also talking with the boys at Ritual about doing something at Labyrinth Brewery in Manchester. Cool. There's things.
They're all happening. Anything you want to ask me?
Oof.
I usually don't get to ask that because, like, I don't know people. I'm not going to, like, put someone on the spot that I don't know and be like, hey, random guest that I don't really know and I'm interviewing. But is there anything you want to ask me?
I'm drawing a blank right now. I was so, so not ready for
wow.
that.
Wow. Okay.
Like, damn, the
cool,
table
I
just
guess.
Turned on me so hard. How do you deal with dividing your time between a full-time job?
Oh, man, this is a serious question. Oh, God.
Yeah. You wanted to go here, so
well,
now we're going here.
Okay.
Between your full-time job, which I know takes up a gargantuan amount of your time, mm-hmm. doing this podcast mm-hmm. as well as your home life.
Ugh, I have no idea. I think the only way to do it is to go. The only way through it is through it. What's that expression?
That's a new one on me.
No. There's an expression. Someone right now in their car is going, I know what it is. It's the only way to do it is through it, or the only way to get through it is through it. I don't know. It's something like that. I literally don't stop long enough to think about it. Because if I did, I'd freak out. I don't know. I go through each day moment to moment. I have pretty severe ADHD, so I write everything down.
Yep.
And I literally don't know what I'm doing until I look at my calendar.
Yeah.
Because if I did, if like I kept it all up there, I would panic probably.
Yeah.
Like if you were to be like, Kristen, this week you are driving to Boston, driving to Providence. You have 6 meetings. You're going to do this thing. You're going to record 2 episodes of the show and you're going to have your kids every day. I would lose my mind.
Yeah.
So I don't actually think
just
about
directly
it.
Directly what's in front of you in that moment is what you concentrate on.
Yeah. Which that is very works. Zen actually.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool. What do I do next?
Kind of just
like right now we're going to go have dinner. That's it.
That's directly what's in front of us.
that's the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
very high chance of tacos right now.
Ooh, I had Mexican for lunch.
Did you have Mexican for lunch?
I did, but it was like Taco Bell, so it doesn't really count.
You know, in Mexico, they have Mexican food every single day.
That's true.
They never get sick of it.
I did eat. It was actually more of American food. It was Taco Bell. It does not count as Mexican
That's
food.
Not Mexican food.
I know. But I had tacos.
That's so wild. Are you going to edit that part out where you referred to Taco Bell as Mexican food? I think you should keep it.
I did quickly correct myself and say that it is American food.
Yeah.
There's no mistake for the listeners. I apologize from the bottom of my heart for all my Mexican and South American listeners, because I know there are many, because I get to see what countries download the show. I know in my soul that Taco Bell is not Mexican food. It is literally the opposite of that. It's Americans' Disneyland version Mexican fast food. That's what their version. It's not. I apologize.
On that note,
I retract.
Taco Bell is delicious.
It's still fucking good, though.
Anyone, listen, there are 2 types of people in this world. There are people that love Taco Bell, and there are liars.
I agree with you. It is the superior fast food.
They even have that, like, it's like a potato taco for
vegetarians.
I know. Vegans? Is it vegan? I don't know.
They have a sweet potato taco, too.
Yeah.
Like, don't sleep on Taco Bell. It's not Mexican food, but it's the best. It's the superior fast food in a pinch, especially if you're eating healthy. You can go get like a taco. Just don't get all the sour cream and cheese on it.
Yeah, they do like Taco Bells and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, listen, this ain't a commercial for Taco Bell. And if you work for Taco Bell and you want to like do an ad for the show, hell yeah, I'll take the advertising revenue over, you know, some of the other advertisers on the show.
Imagine you actually catch a Taco Bell sponsorship from this.
That would be dope.
Isn't that how it happens? Isn't that how this starts?
I don't know. Me and my Baja Blast Breeze Soda Taco Bell collab.
Yeah. And I remember when Sierra Mist changed over to Starry because of some...
I don't even know what that is.
Some wild lawsuit thing that happened.
What is it? Starry?
So it's Starry now. Like as in like a starry night.
Oh, I missed that.
I missed it too. And I learned about this in line at Taco Bell in the drive-thru.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I'll get whatever my order was and Sierra Mist. And the woman goes, Starry?
And you thought she said sorry?
And I thought she said sorry. So I went, Sierra Mist. And instead of her going, oh, yeah, no, it's called Starry now, she just goes, Starry?
Over and over
and
again.
And it was like a rough exchange between the two of us and really, really awkward eye contact when I got to the window. Because
you got
I
there
was,
in the end, though.
Yeah, I was just like, "What are you trying to like tell me that I'm stupid because I didn't know that Sierra Mist changed their name? Can I just have a soda?"
Well, I didn't know that either, and I'm not stupid. Can I also, my gripe, we're talking about Taco Bell for way too long, but listen, one of my biggest gripes is that they got rid of, one of my favorite things when I would eat Taco Bell is getting a Dr. Pepper. And now they have exclusive contract with Pepsi products. So no more Dr. Pepper.
That's awful.
If you've ever had like a bean burrito with a Dr. Pepper, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It could not be like I explain this to people all the time. Like I have friends who tease me because they think I'm like fancy because a lot of the restaurants that I'm in a lot. But that's like for work. That's not like my aesthetic is high and low. I don't like the in-between. I don't like the Applebee's, Chili's, Friday shit.
Yeah.
I either want fine dining or fucking Taco Bell.
None of us really want anymore.
I want Krug, champagne, or I want Miller High Life. There's literally no in-between. And if I am big on food pairings, I'm huge on food pairings. You find me a fucking better food pairing than a bean burrito from Taco Bell and a fucking Dr. Pepper. I'm telling you.
Man, I got to throw a Big Mac and fries and a ice cold Coca-Cola in the mix.
Come on, man. Oh, but that's like, man, a classic one. That's like, okay, fine.
I mean,
I'm coming out of like left field with this one, and I really want to encourage people to try it.
I do love Dr. Pepper. I don't think I've ever actually ordered it at Taco Bell. I tried to.
They don't have it anymore. That's why my beef is.
And now I never will. You can just go get a Dr. Pepper at McDonald's.
I have done that.
Go hit like multiple spots. I think about doing that sometimes on like my day off. I'll be. Yeah.
How lazy am I today?
I'll be on a little bit of the jazz cabbage and thinking to myself, what if I put together the perfect order of like a Burger King Whopper, McDonald's fries, Wendy's shake?
So I don't do the jazz cabbage anymore. But when I was younger, I did. And my perfect order, and y'all are going to judge me for this, but I would go to Taco Bell. I get two bean burritos with extra cheese, red sauce, and onions. I get a nacho cheese steak chalupa.
Ooh.
I'd get a side of churros and a Dr. Pepper, and I would destroy all of it.
Yeah. And in that moment, you were just so happy. You could be in your car in a parking lot, and it's just you and the bean burritos.
Yep. A couple of Slim Jims sometimes. They're on the mix.
Tabasco Slim Jims. I like the spicy ones.
Oh, yeah. They're so good. Well, we've deviated quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of what was to be expected.
This show's about booze, and we've given Taco Bell quite a platform here. So Taco Bell executives, get at me for a collab.
Big up, chalupas.
Big up to the chalupas. I don't know what happened to the chalupas.
Chalupas are still there.
Are they?
I think so.
They brought back Mexican pizza, but I don't think they brought back a chalupa.
Are we about to go to Taco Bell right now?
I think we have to.
Should we just keep talking about Taco Bell for a very long time?
I'm going to edit like 5 minutes of this out.
What's your favorite cocktail, Kristen?
My favorite cocktail.
Let's get back on the rails.
Okay. For efficiency and also comfort, my favorite cocktail is an ounce of Montenegro and an ounce of whiskey, one ice cube.
Ooh.
Just mix the two together, one ice cube, perfection.
They call that the Italian stallion.
I don't care what it's called. It's delish.
Yeah. I've been drinking a lot of M&M's lately. That's Mezcal Montenegro.
Yeah. I feel like Montenegro is what's next. All right. So if you were to look in my kitchen right now, there's a bottle of Montenegro right next to my stove because that is what I cook with. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't go in my food. It goes in my face.
Yeah.
There's always a bottle in my kitchen.
I have one on my dining room table mm-hmm. right now.
I mean, it's like if you want something like slightly lower ABV.
Yeah.
That's Swedish, but not too, not Swedish, sweet-ish.
Yeah.
These braces make it really hard to talk.
If for what it's worth, I haven't heard any bit of a difference whatsoever.
I have. I've been listening to the podcast that I've recorded recently, and I'm like, oof, can't wait. 2 more weeks, my friend.
2 more weeks. We're almost there. We're almost at the finish line.
We're at the finish line. Hopefully, I'll have straighter teeth to show for it because it's been a wild ride.
How do you refer to that? To the, you have a term for that, the tooth.
My hillbilly tooth?
Your hillbilly tooth.
Oh, yeah. I have hillbilly jeans. Like the listeners probably have heard this before. I don't know. I've talked about this. It's just I've had braces and Invisalign a bunch of times, and just there's one tooth that just doesn't want to go. So we threw some braces on, and away we go.
If the braces don't work out, I have a hammer in the next room. I'll take care of that tooth so fast.
You are from Waterbury.
I'm from Waterbury.
For those of you from not from Connecticut, Waterbury is a little seedy.
Yeah. Welcome to Waterbury. We have hammers.
Rough around the edges.
Lots of potholes.
But Brenny is a shining star who came from there.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful to know him as a friend and for doing this podcast.
I'm right back at you. This has been a lot of fun.
All right. We're going to go to Taco Bell.
All right.
Bye.
Later.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.